Fuck, we really gotta talk about Wonder Egg Priority today, don't we?
This was your idea.
Was this my idea?
I am 100% sure it was your idea, because when I was like, all right, I've got to finally watch the special, I was like, Tay is making me do it because they want to talk, they want to do an episode.
Oh, man, that was a bad idea. Just like the ending to Wonder Egg Priority. Anyway, hey everyone, welcome back to the Our Enemy Podcast. Today we are talking about Wonder Egg Priority and the memorable journey it took us on.
May God have mercy on our souls.
Today I'm your host, Fate Steel Taylor, and I'm joined by two amazing people. I'm joined by Sinwis, a.k.a. apparently on some parts of the internet known as Metal Rain.
That's me.
To me known as 0-2 in anime Twitch Jeopardy.
Fuck you.
How's it going, Sinris?
Well, it's been one of those days, and I think it's going to continue to be one at this rate.
Oh, no! I'm sorry.
He's completely blindsided by the Jeopardy gist. What the hell, Tay? It's bad enough that we're talking about Wonder Egg Priority, and now you're talking about whatever.
You know what? We're just going to get all our L's out there. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, but you're doing okay, Sinris?
I'm doing okay.
You're all right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. And we've also got Mozilla Fennekin, a.k.a. Moz, a.k.a. Moz, a.k.a. fan of the Kansas City Royals, who are at home playing golf.
Yeah. But we did get to see the White Sox get eliminated today. I don't give a shit if it's from the Astros. Fuck the White Sox.
Oh, man. What, you don't like the White Sox dominating the AL Central in back-to-back years? Not a big fan of that?
They didn't even really dominate them that much, honestly. We had a winning record against them this year.
Did you really?
We went 10-9 against the Sox, so...
Oh, man.
I said they were going to get swept. I gave them maybe not enough credit, because they actually won one game, LOL.
It's a gentleman's sweep.
Oh, my God. Okay, here's a fucking L I just took. Pokemon Center has blocked me because I was refreshing a page too much, because I'm trying to buy Pokemon cards. The hardest thing to do in the entire world. Now I can't buy them. How do you get blocked from Pokemon Center? By trying to buy stuff on the fucking website. Anyway, whatever we were talking about, what were we talking about?
We're talking we're talking about the L's we've taken.
I'm like Nanashi Mume. I just forget.
Isn't a Wonder Egg a thing in Pokemon too?
Oh, it is. Yeah, Wonder Egg trades, right? Or like something?
What?
Wonder trades?
Well, Wonder Trades. Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah, that is a feature.
Which is like almost like Wonder Egg Priority. Wonder Egg Priority Trades.
So how are you doing, Wonder Egg
Priority? This is our worst podcast episode ever.
Honestly, if you are listening to this podcast and you have gone this far, please turn it off. It's not going to get any better from here. This is like the first 10 episodes of Wonder Egg Priority, and the rest of this podcast is going to be episodes like 11 through 12 in the special. All
right.
So, let's talk about Wonder Egg Priority.
To preface this, we talked about Egg back in our winter seasonals, our impressions, and then the retrospective. The winter impressions episode is basically a tragedy at this point, because we went into that season thinking, oh my god, this is like the best season of anime ever. Because we've got the climax of ReZero, we've got the new season of Beastars, we've got the best arc of Neverland should be getting adapted, we've got these insane, like, we've got Horimiya, which is a super good rom-com that people have been hyping up for years, Mushoku Tensei, people have been hyping up
Horimiya,
for years.
Horimiya was actually good.
Horimiya was actually good, sure. And then we've got these amazing train wrecks, redo of Healer and X-Arm, and now we've got these insane originals, Skate and Wonder Egg Priority. It's like, oh my god, this season's got everything. And then it's like, almost all of those shows, maybe not fell apart entirely, because, I mean, Beastars didn't fall apart, ReZero didn't fall apart, but they were disappointing.
Can ReZero fall apart when it's never been put together?
whatever.
Thank
whatever
fucking God. Thank God for Escape the Infinity salvaging that season.
What's the line again? What is
what
it?
Line?
Hello.
What line from what?
Bitches, bros, and non-binary hoes.
Oh, yeah. Bitches, bros, non-binary hoes.
What is that from? Ooh, I don't know this
that's
line.
That's from the English dub of Skate.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
At the beginning of like the final like tournament, when Adam like jumps out of the helicopter.
I didn't know Skate had a good dub.
Yeah. Can we talk about Skate instead? That's a great show.
That's what the podcast. We told our viewers we're gonna talk about Wonder Egg Priority, and unlike Wonder Egg Priority, we're not gonna Bing switch up on them.
Yeah.
So Moz, I believe you said you had something to share with the class about why on God's green earth you decided to rewatch all of Wonder Egg Priority on one day.
Yeah, because we were doing this podcast essentially, and I just kind of like didn't remember too much of the show. It's like I remember the experience of watching it, and the thing is I did like Egg quite a bit. It did end up being a disappointing show, but it was still like a decent 7, and to say that it's disappointing and still give it a decent 7 just shows the caliber the beginning episodes were of.
For
like
sure.
It had one of the most amazing starts I think I've ever seen for any anime, but I it was hard to like remember like what exactly was it that, you know, didn't work out exactly. I mean, I kind of vaguely remember it's like, all right, like the first episode was a lot weirder and more creative than everything else, but you know, what exactly was the problem with the show? So I wanted to refresh myself on it for real. So I did that. And it's kind of funny how we're prefacing this as if it was like this huge mistake, because I came away liking the show more upon a rewatch. I felt like I just got more out of it, and I'm like, yeah, this really did end up, like, sure, it wasn't a perfect, amazing 10 out of 10 like I was hoping it might be at the very beginning, but it was actually, I gave it an 8 this time. I actually did really like it. I got more out of the characters. I kind of understood the character arcs a lot more and all that. And so, yeah, I did that, and I did that, of course, to prep myself for watching the special, the sort of epilogue OVA that concludes the series, quote-unquote. So I wanted to make sure I, you know, knew exactly what I was getting into. It turned out to be a complete waste of time to rewatch the entire series, though, because this first half of this 45-minute OVA is a recap of the entire show. So my time was wasted. I didn't need to actually watch it. I could have just watched the special, and I would have gotten the recap that I needed anyway.
Well, at least by rewatching the whole thing, it seems like you gained a little more appreciation for it, so it's not all loss.
Yeah, of course. And I did it for the memes, so I could post on Twitter and make funny jokes about it, which is what it's all about at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Oh, man.
So,
yeah,
I will say that, well, I have been very harsh on it so far in this conversation. I actually really liked this show. I thought I had a similar experience to everyone else, where I was like, this started out really good and then got a lot less good. But I had my opinion of it declined a lot slower than most other people's. I remember around like halfway through the season, a lot of people being like, yeah, like Egg isn't good anymore. And I was still really into it at that point.
I mean, we had the trans rights episode, like episode 10.
Yeah, that was
10 or 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 10, because 11 was the flashback episode, and 12 was the double octo eye.
Right.
I guess you're right. Somehow you know more about this than me, who watched it like 2 hours ago.
Well, it's because, you know, the recap threw you off on the pacing.
Yeah,
of course.
I would say it's only after that episode that the show like takes
jumps the shark.
It really jumps the shark and just turns into probably the single biggest disappointment I have ever had with a piece of media.
Damn. Okay, but did you watch Darling in the Franxx?
Yes, but it was never good.
Did you watch? Did you watch Seikai Suru Kado?
I don't even know what that is.
Did you watch Isekai Quartet Season 1 hoping that Megumin and Amelia would talk to each other?
Yeah, but I didn't quite have the same level of investment in that as you did.
Oh, man.
So?
No, I mean, I totally get what you're saying because, you know, I think I remember seeing people, I think like it was after like episode 4 or 5, people started saying that, you know, there's things that people don't like about it and it's starting to fall apart. And I feel like as you're watching it, it feels like there are cracks in the writing. Yeah. Like you could be like, okay, I could see how this might turn wrong. I don't remember, like, towards the end, I was getting real nervous as to how they were gonna finish everything and how they were gonna handle everything. But then episode 10, I think, really just reaffirmed my belief in the show. And I was like, wow, this is gonna, like, be really fucking amazing. Cause that episode about the trans experience, about a trans character was one of the most kindly handled that I've come across, I feel like.
Totally.
And it was just really wonderfully well done. It was very sensitive. It was very, but it was sensitive while still remaining true to what the show's core was. So it didn't feel like inauthentically cloying, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And it was, like, it was really good for how it tied into like one of the main characters, like well-established, like personal insecurities. Right. You know, like giving Momoe, you know, like another like sort of like gender non-conforming character to interact with was really good, even before you get to like the fact that it's one of the rare, like very good depictions of trans people in anime.
Yo, the people, oh man, it was tough though, because and I think Moz, you and I had tweets about this as it was airing, but like it was really hard to parse originally, like, whether it was confirmed whether Momoe was trans or not.
That's right, yeah. Like, that was, like,
originally,
that was one of the funniest, like, I guess, happy little mistakes, I guess, that happened with me in this show. Of course with this show, but, like, in general with anime. Because, like, when Momoe is first introduced, she says things like, she's the, like, there's a monster that is saying that she's a boy, and she's like, no, I have a right, I have the right to ride on this bus.
Yeah.
Like anyone else, because I'm a girl, and things like that. So I felt like they were really trying to be like, yeah, this person seems like a boy, but it's actually a girl, and that probably,
she does seem very trans-coded at first, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So I did.
And then they veer away from that for a little bit, yeah. And they're like, wait a second, is she not trans?
Yeah.
And then episode 10 is, like, very reaffirming of, like, no, actually, she is trans.
I don't know if Momoe is trans,
I don't think that's the takeaway for Momoe.
No, I don't think Momoe is trans, but they just met a trans character later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Because I was ambivalent on a lot, and I saw, like, a lot of commentary after episode 10, where it was, like, I guess it's one of those things where, well, if someone reads Momoe as trans, it's hard to take that away from them.
Yes, but also, Momoe's whole, like, insecurity is from the fact that she is, like, biologically female, but is perceived as male.
Perceived as male.
Yeah, very often. And doesn't like the fact that she's perceived as male.
Perceived as male,
Despite the fact, you know, she presents and appears very masculine. She's a complicated, really well-written character.
It's complicated to unpack. Yeah. And she's, there's a lot of things that you can really unpack about her that I really liked. I liked her character arcs along with Rika the most, I think.
Yeah.
Like, Nehru was cool, but they almost left too much about her to mystery and then never resolved any of it.
Nehru was always, like, the weirdest character, which I think when you look at her, you can always kind of tell a little bit of where the show is going to end up, you know?
Yeah, in a way, she's like maybe a bit of a microcosm of the entire series, where it's like, all right, there's some really cool and complex things going on here, but you're not going to see all of it because they're just not going to get around to it, I guess.
Right. Mm-hmm. But so I guess we should address, you know, this is kind of like, I don't know how 100% confirmed this is. This is just what I've seen. But like the source of all the weirdness behind why the show is so like incoherent with its themes at times on this subject, which is that supposedly there was a creative differences between the author and the mm-hmm. director of this show.
Right.
So touched on this a little bit in the retrospective of the season, but for anyone who didn't mm-hmm. watch that, I'll go over it again. So there's a scene like 6 or 7 episodes in. I don't really remember.
I think it's like episode 4.
Oh, is it that early? Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty early, actually. Yeah.
So there's a scene fairly early on where the girls are talking to the Akas, as they're called. Akka and Dora Akka. About like this weird dream landscape where they meet like the spirits of these girls who committed suicide. And the Akka, they're like, well, why is it only girls who show up like in the Wonder Eggs? And the Akkas say some like insane gender sensuous bullshit about how like men's and women's suicides mean different things. And like men, like when women men, commit
I, suicide. I got it pulled up. Men are goal oriented. Women are emotion oriented. Women are impulsive and easily influenced by others' voices.
Yes. So basically, the message of the show, and this, according to the like the writer of the show, is the thought that like spurred him to write the whole thing. This is like the original inspirational concept behind the show, is that when women commit suicide, it's because they're like stupid and impulsive. And the director,
very feminist thing to say.
Yeah. The director, is not a fucking psychopath and, had a more reasonable take on things. So you can see in a lot of places in the show where the writing would, or like the events that happen would kind of fit into this, like, sexist, gender essentialist, narrative, but the way things are actually handled is a lot more, you know, like, sensitive and appropriate and kind of working against that. So I think a lot of people thought for most of the show that the point of it was that the Akkas were the villains, because like this is how they think, and the actual theme of the show is being set up to be that, like, well, no, the reason that this is happening to these girls is because people who see them in that way are mistreating them.
Right.
And that is not
setting up the skeevy teacher.
That is not really where it went. And it didn't. And this is where I would tell you where it did go, except that it didn't end up actually going anywhere. And that's the biggest disappointment for me with Wonder Egg Priority, is that this special. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that was going on behind the scenes with Wonder Egg Priority is that it is probably the like worst nightmare story of bad anime crunch production of all time. Mm.
Did it like multiple people have to be rushed to the hospital, and one person had to go like twice?
Yeah,
at least the like lead animation producer right. did twice.
Every single week, we're hearing stories about how like. You know, it's an hour before it's supposed to air and they're still finishing producing it and stuff. Eventually, like, they couldn't keep up the pace and they had to, like, skip an episode. And that meant that
they did
like,
a recap.
They had a recap episode, and then, like, they have, when anime start running, they, like, have their time slots and they can't.
They're bought in 13
right.
week segments.
Yeah, so if you miss an episode, you can't just delay it. They lost an episode entirely off of the runtime of the show, which means that when they got to the end of their runtime, the show wasn't over. So they announced, okay, we're going to have like an hour-long special to wrap everything up. And that's going to air.
That's happened before.
Yeah, it's happened before.
It's not unprecedented. Yeah.
It's never good.
Kekkai Sensen had to do it.
Right.
Right.
But
Kekkai Sensen was different because that was an actual like national emergency that happened, I think.
Right. But like having to miss an episode and then being like, okay, we'll come back later.
Yeah.
Is not unprecedented. Maybe the circumstances can change from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never a great feeling, but it wasn't like, oh, this has never happened before kind of deal.
Right.
Is basically what I wanted to say.
It's maybe marginally better than shows that get pulled off the air entirely and just have to finish their broadcast later on.
I would say it's probably better than that, yeah. So like 3 or 4 months go by before the special is supposed to come out. And then like a week before the special is about to come out, you start hearing the rumors again, seeing it on Twitter and stuff. Like, oh, the Wonder Egg Priority special is supposed to air in 4 days and they just finished key animation, you know, that kind of thing. And then it comes out. It's an hour long special. The first half of it is a recap. And then the second half is an episode where basically nothing happens. And then the show just ends without addressing like any of the hanging plot threads.
Mm.
So.
It's wish the most non-ending of all time.
Yeah. I wish so badly that they had just fucked up their themes and done something like really horrible so I could at least like be mad that the ending was bad. Instead, it just didn't end. Like
the very last line of the entire series is Ioto is back, and then they just cut to E.G.
And it's so mind-boggling. How is it possible that they did this? And the only way I can wrap my head around it, the only thing that I can imagine being the explanation for why it ended the way it did was just that they lost to Crunch again. They couldn't finish it in time, so they only, like, the second half of the special was supposed to be the first half of the special. And they were supposed to have another episode's worth of stuff on the end, but they got through the first half, like, we don't have time to finish the second, throw together a recap, we'll just put out what we have no other options.
Yeah. I mean, the special, I heard, didn't get to, like, actual production until, you know, a few days before it actually came out. And it kind of looks like something they put together in a couple of days.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, during the TV run, Wonder Egg Priority still looked phenomenal.
Right? That's the craziest thing about it.
Like, do you have anime that have terrible anime production issues, like, during its run? Like, say, an Orange or a Revue Starlight? And it's very clear
those
that
those are two very, very weird examples of disastrous production that I don't know how many people would, like, agree with or even know about.
But or what? Do you want me to bring up, like, Mars then or something?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, let's bring up Mars then and Cinderella 9 as other anime that had disastrous airing times. And, like, you could really tell they were getting fucked over during their animation time because, like, it looked really bad. But, like, Wonder Egg Priority, like, even with its crunch, somehow managed to look really good. Like, if you weren't plugged into the anime scene at all, you'd probably be like, bro, this anime is great.
Yeah, it looked amazing.
They're probably treating all their animators so well. Like, there was so much Sakuga. The fight scenes looked great. The emotion. Like,
every single episode looked fantastic.
Even the last television episode that was like, you know, like you, which you would think would be like one of the worst looking ones. I mean, look at Eva, right? Like, look at how terrible the last two episodes of Eva looked because of production issues and timing and stuff. And Wonder Egg Priority never had to resort to that. Sure, like, did people's health suffer? Yes. But it's not like people's health didn't suffer on other things. And it was just, and like, I'm not trying to make fun of that. It's just, Like, it's absolutely absurd to me how they were able to pull it off. And then, like, the special just fell apart. Like, they didn't even have that going for it in the final episode. It's really heartbreaking to see. Because you can tell that, like, for a lot of the people on the team and for the people working on it, this was like a passion project for them.
Yeah.
And I think that love for this kind of story they were trying to craft and the stories they were trying to tell really came through and really spoke to a lot of viewership.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, and you know, and it kind of felt like obviously art, it's one of those things where, like, what obligation does art have to us? What obligation does anime or TV or media have to us? Is media obligated to tell a good story? Is media obligated to fulfill on its potential? And it's one of those things where I felt like One Direct Priority really let us down, because I think I agree with you, Moss. Like, the first 10 episodes, even with its, you know, occasional tonal dissonance, especially with the gender essentialist bullshit and the really terrible, you know, shit they talk about women and high school girls and the overall arcs in there, like, it sets up this really great story where they're trying to tackle, you know, some possibly, like, larger societal things, like older men preying on younger women, especially with the teacher, and suicide and the trans experience and dealing with all that and gender identity. And then the last two episodes just take a huge swerve, and I just really found, I think for me, the most heartbreaking part of this was the quote unquote twist, which made me feel like a Game of Thrones twist, in the way that, like, Game of Thrones, like, would do twists that made no sense character wise, just to, like, hey, like, you had no idea this was coming, where it turns out Ai's, you know, quote unquote best friend in high school who killed herself, wasn't actually a good person, and yeah, was spouting false rape accusations, which, like, is so harmful to everything that the show was trying to go for. Like, to turn this character into, like, oh yeah, she was, like, accusing men of, like, falsely raping her, and she, like, caused one guy to, like, kill himself and, like, ruined his life because of a false rape accusation. And she was doing that against the really creepy dude who was, like, hitting on Ai's mom, and actually he's, like, a really nice dude. Mm-hmm. Not bad at all. It's actually the girl who died. It's her fault.
Yeah.
After setting up an entire season of, like, a tragic character and, like, the way society feels young women, to turn it into that just felt so fucked up.
I'll say, up until, like, the special and the reveal about Ai's friend, I actually... Uh-huh. Kind of liked the way that they handled the teacher as a character. Uh-huh. Because obviously when you have the setup of this premise, you know, it's natural to assume that he's, like, the villain of the show, right? You know, he just, like, gives off those vibes, you know, if there's some sort of association between, like, him and this young girl who committed suicide and everything. And I thought it was really interesting how they developed him to the point where you kind of realize eventually that he's not really doing anything wrong. Ai is just really suspicious of him because she's, like, scared of him and, like, doesn't know what happened with her mom with her friend, is defensive of her mom. And that kind of thing. And I thought it was a cool little twist on what you would expect that kind of narrative to be like. You know, having him actually be, like, good and supportive for her at the end. But yeah, what they did with...
Still a little creepy that he was making her his art subject.
Yeah, it's
painting subject.
That's true.
Is that weird? Aging her up and then wanting to marry her mom.
Right.
I think it's not a thing most well-adjusted good people would do. In a position of power.
Sure, that's fair.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't think that much of it. But then again, I'm not a very well-adjusted person, so take that as you will.
I'm also not a teacher or anything,
so...
Moz, I would let you draw a painting of me aged up anytime, so don't worry.
So you're just going to be a really old man.
Where the fuck were we?
No, but I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying because, like, you know, like, making her suspicious and, like, being like, okay, maybe this guy didn't do anything wrong. Maybe it's fine. And maybe it's, like, I think you're right in that, like, the twist could have worked if it turns out that, like, he wasn't a bad guy. He wasn't suspicious. And actually, like, you know, her friend was suicidal and she was going through some really tough shit. But he was actually trying to be there to support her. And, right. Like, he's going through the pain of, like, losing her, too.
Right.
I think that would have been better. And, like, not that I'm trying to say that I'm a writer, but, like, it would have been less problematic than him being like, oh, yeah, she was, like, trying to falsely accuse, or, like, accuse me of rape and shouting from the roof, literally shouting from the rooftops that I had raped her when she slipped and fell and died.
Whoops.
Oopsie.
Like, as twists go...
Made a little fucky-wucky there.
As twists go, I think that might be, like, my least favorite. Yeah. And I used to think, like, I really didn't like pretzel twists. But, like, I think this is worse than that.
Pretzel twists?
Yeah, you haven't had, like, pretzel twists?
Oh,
he's
oh.
talking like... about Rem from ReZero.
Yeah, it's like such an unsatisfying conclusion to be like, this girl you've been wondering about and like the tragedy of what happened to her this whole series. Actually, all that was going on is that she was a terrible person and then she died by accident.
A horrific person. God. And it's like, okay, so what are you going to do with that? It's like the conch from SpongeBob. It's like, nothing. So what are you gonna about this storyline with like Nehru and like her being like this genetically created specimen who like might be from an alternate universe and like had a sister friend who like is lost in the universe?
Yeah, thinking about
what
it now.
Conch say?
Thinking about
nothing.
Thinking about that now. That's maybe the most unsatisfying thing about it was actually the parallel universe stuff. Because like it's like when they get into that. And then at the end, you see that the girls do come back to life, but then it's like they don't like at least with Koito, like she doesn't end up remembering Ai at all. So it's like we're in a parallel universe where they never met. Right. Well, it's like, well, why not just have a parallel universe where nothing ever happened and the show isn't real? It's like it just cancels everything out, basically. It just feels like that.
Yeah. I was going to say something. What was I going to say? Oh, yes. A little more evidence, I think, for my theory that the reason the special was the way it was is just because they ran out of time to make it. When they meet, what's her name? Fubuki, the albino girl who lived with Nehru. And they're like, yes, we have a recording of Nehru's last dream, but we're not going to show it to you. We just have the audio from it and no visuals to go along.
Yeah, I don't know. It one reminds time. Me of it's an ending that might be you know, this might be a bit of an exaggeration, but these shows are not on the same level. They're not on the same like quality or level of importance or anything like that. But like the ending of Egg is kind of like the ending of Ava in the TV broadcast, where it's like, because the end of the TV broadcast of Ava, it literally just says, we don't have enough time to explain everything that happened, so we're just going to kind of close off like Shinji's character arc, and that's about it, and that's all you get. And so with Egg, it really did feel like they were just like, yeah, we don't have enough time to finish all the plot points anymore, so I guess we'll just kind of give you some answers and leave you with that. Yeah, the end. you can fill in the rest yourself. Maybe hopefully someday in a couple of years we can like come back and do a proper movie that will actually explain everything, but that's unlikely. Well,
Didn't it also sell
I'm not betting on that.
It sold like 200 copies.
Nothing. Like total across all its
for
ways.
Real?
Yeah,
like it didn't even chart for some of its volumes. And I think like the chart cutoff was like 200.
Well, I don't know. They say that licensing an episode of anime costs like millions of dollars per episode, so hopefully Funimation just funded it back themselves.
Yeah.
God. Weren't they on the committee, though? So, like, it's probably just like, all right, from one lost ledger to the other. Oh, man.
So, an utter failure in nearly all respects. Like, creatively, financially, anything you can think of.
Physically.
Emotionally.
Physically, emotionally.
Health-wise, yeah.
Hi, my name is Taylor. Have you been emotionally or physically impacted by Wonder Egg Priority? Then you could be eligible for claims against Wonder Egg Priority.
You may be entitled to financial compensation.
You may please call 1-800-EGG-SUCKS to be connected to one of our amazing associates who have a 1,000% success rate in getting your money back from Wonder Egg Priority.
Except that nobody spent any money on it.
Unless he bought a Funimation subscription.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah, imagine getting a Funimation subscription.
Have you been mentally affected by buying a Funimation subscription? Well, call our associates and we can help you get that fixed for you.
God, it's actually absurd how bad Funimation's video player is. What is more disappointing and terrible? Funimation's web player or Wonder Egg Priority's ending?
I would have to say Wonder Funimation. Egg Priority.
I would say Funimation because I got to post funny tweets about Wonder Egg Priority.
But I've gotten to post funny tweets about Funimation's terrible video player.
But I made a... shut up.
See how great we are at debates? We can definitely get you your money back.
Exactly.
All that said, though, you guys want to talk about some of the things that were good about the show? Because I am still really fond of this show in a fucked up sort
of
way.
The direction in the show was phenomenal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot
go
of
ahead,
back.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go on.
No, you.
I was going to say, sometimes I think about, actually, oftentimes I think about what you said about the Heaven's Feel adaptation for Fate Stay Night.
What was that?
When you're like, oh, like you didn't love how it was adapted for the first film, because the visual novel is much more like horror movie, horror game-esque.
Yeah.
And it doesn't convey that across well in the adaptation. And of course, like Wonder Egg Priority is an original work, but I felt like one of the things they grasped really well was the uneasiness of the atmosphere around everything in a way that I felt like reminded me, and this is like the most obvious comparison to go to, but like a little bit about Madoka Magica, where you're like, okay, like, obviously something is going wrong underneath the surface of this. People should not believe that you can just pay like a couple, you know, 100 yen and get an egg to try and save a girl who committed suicide.
Right.
Like clearly there's going to be some consequences to your action. But it wasn't like, you know, a lot of Madoka clones and copycats over the years have really been obvious about it. Like, let's say a Maho Shoujo Raising Project, a Magical Girl Raising Project, for one, where it was just like really obvious that that's what they were going for, or Yuki Yuna is a hero.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like with Wonder Egg Priority, it was kind of like horror-esque to me, where it was like, okay, like, clearly something is wrong here, something is uncanny, but like, I think what sets up a good horror story is, like, the audience knowing something is wrong and the characters also acknowledging something is kind of wrong, but nobody quite being on the same page as to what exactly is wrong. Sure. And it gives you this air of uneasiness and unfamiliarity and a little bit of panic about what could be coming around the corner next. And I think the direction of Wonder Egg Priority really helped that. It looked phenomenal. It looked great. Like the way it would frame its characters through all these things they would go through and the times they would fight like these monsters and stuff. I think it did really well.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And the fights themselves also just looked amazing.
The fights
amazing.
Looked phenomenal.
The fight choreography was so good. There are so many good little stylistic choices just in the way the show depicts everything. Like, the fact that all of their weapons in the dream world are just, like, souped-up versions of, like, school supplies. There's not really any reason for it to be that way, but it's cool. Like, I has a giant hammer that's, like, one of those four-color pens where you push down...
It's a keyblade. She gets a keyblade.
It is kind of a keyblade, isn't it? Rika has the
scissors.
Yeah.
Or the knives. Sorry,
yeah,
the
box cutter knives.
Yeah.
And you know that stuff is really cool. I love Ai's little like catchphrase whenever she.
Now I'm really mad.
Yeah. It's like hell yeah, girl. Like. Stop taking shit from people. Get mad. Do something about it.
I think they all had a little catchphrase because Rika said, "No, not Rika. No, Nelu said, I'll blow your mind."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget what Rika's and Momoi's hat were if they had.
I don't know if
to me,
the other
it felt
two had.
like a homage to Sailor Moon. And this is not an original thought I've had. It's by a wonderful article by Reiko Yoshida, who was writing for Grantland when she talked about Sailor Moon, but talking about how in Sailor Moon they used things like compacts and other like makeup materials and things and would utilize those as weapons in Sailor Moon. And was saying how that was like a third wave of feminism. Unfortunately, I am not cultured and I am not intelligent, so I don't know. I don't even know which wave of feminism we are on now. So never mind what the third wave of feminism is. But
I
that
don't
phrase
remember.
Has been something that's... that's a phrase that stuck with me and when I was thinking about when I was watching Wonder Egg Priority because they were wielding things that were clearly a source of trauma to them in some sort. I, using the four-color pen when she was bullied at school and that pen is something you would use at school.
Right.
Rika using
like
the
like a literal weaponized version of the knives she used to self-harm.
Exactly. And I was like, this is, you know, in a sense, it feels empowering to be able to acknowledge what the trauma you went through and utilize that as a weapon to save others.
Totally.
And I was like, that's just an awesome concept.
Right? Like, that's so strong. That is such a good idea to, like, build a series off of. But that's just not what it was trying to do, actually, after all.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That's what's so heartbreaking about it.
The failed potential.
Yeah. It could have been so good, but they weren't trying to make it good.
Momoa says, get lost.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah, and... Speaking of all four of the girls, gotta say my single favorite thing about the whole show, they are the fucking perfect anime friend group. Every scene of them just like hanging out is awesome. They're the best. I love them. They are so much fun.
Such a great group dynamic.
Yeah. It's cool because it's like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like, in a way, it's like they're all very different. And there are things about them that, like, don't match each other. Like, Rika's obviously, like, always pissing everyone off. But, but that also just is part of what makes them great as a group.
Right, yeah.
Like, the fact that they all have their own positive and negative traits, I guess.
It's, like, it's very true to, you know, like, real-life friend groups. Where, you know, everyone is, like, friends with with everyone, but to varying degrees, they get along with each other, and some of them just, like, piss each other off. Like, Neru and Rika absolutely do not get along.
Especially for people who are just kind of, you know, they haven't known each other that long,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. It reminds me a little bit of a place further than the universe when they add, like, the last or the second to last girl to the group. There's this great moment where they're all, like, sitting in a diner or something. And she's like, I want to be friends with all of you guys. Like, you know, I've never had, like, a really close group of friends like you guys all are with each other. And the other three of them, like, look back and forth and they're like, we've known each other for, like, a week.
Yeah.
But I could watch the like, scene of the four of them just, like, bowling at the arcade forever. I could watch a whole show of them doing that. One of my favorite moments in the whole thing, which in retrospect is probably meant to be, like, a these girls are stupid and don't have their priorities straight moments, but if you don't interpret
their
it that way, it's awesome.
Priorities.
No. Yes, they don't have their Wonder Egg priorities straight. There's one moment where, like, the Akkas are about to start explaining, like, the deep lore of the series, and they get, like, one sentence into it, and then Momoe texts the group chat that she has a date coming up, and the two who are talking to the Akkas are just like, actually, never mind, I don't fucking care. We have way more important things to worry about. And they just, like, leave to go talk to Momoe about her date. It's good.
It's good.
It's good. You know, that's
yeah.
That's what I want. Why can't I have it? Don't I deserve that much? Don't I deserve that much?
Sinners, you sound so down bad.
We'll be that for you, Sinners. Especially if you come to New York.
Oh, I was referring to that's what I want out of, like, my media, but also I appreciate it.
I was like, damn, Cinerus, I guess that's how we are.
Media is just a friendship simulator.
It's true.
What if the real friends were the media we made along the way?
Good old parasocial relationship with fictional characters.
Gotta love VTubers.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
And all four of the girls all have, like, amazing 10 out of 10 designs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I was one of the first people to, like, be really hyping this show up because I have a sort of meme about, I just think,
heterochromia!
Heterochromia is just really cool, and it's awesome, and so I saw this show got announced, and they revealed this character. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a great show.
Yeah, no, you got idea what fucking Max Scherzer as the protagonist.
Fuck yeah. And I was almost right, kind of. But there's actually a really interesting little, like, bit of history with Egg, because when this was first announced, it was announced in, like, October or something of 2020. So it only had a couple of months between the initial announcement and the premiere date, which is not all that common for any seasonal anime, and for a brand new original anime, especially uncommon.
Right.
And whatever they revealed about it, like, when they announced it, they did not really say what it was going to be. Like, they gave us a bit of a trailer with, you know, some footage from the first minute, but it was basically just, like, mostly, like, character shots or some of the slower scenes of I walking around. And the synopsis that they gave for the show was, like, not even a synopsis. It was just, like, some flavor text, just kind of, like, vaguely describing the concept of the show. So there was no way of knowing what this was going to be at all. So when it came out, it's just like, what in the world is this weird Wonder Egg Pride? Like, what is that title? What are these character designs? Like, what is going on? So it was so much fun seeing the seasonal takeover that Wonder Egg Priority had in the beginning. It's like one of the best. It reminds me of, like, Made in Abyss, when Made in Abyss was airing, because that was a super unpopular show because it was out on freaking, it was only available
Amazon.
On Anime Strike. It was fucking double paywalled, so everyone had to do like this grassroots campaign to get the show marketing because no one else was marketing it at all. So like everyone just had to shove it down everyone else's throats. Like, guys, you gotta watch this. That was what was happening with Egg because it was such a weird, mysterious series that everyone just had to spread it by word of mouth. Just say like, just watch it. It's real good.
And it was on a really terrible, unpopular streaming service as well.
Yes.
Anyway, I do not like Funimation.
We even knew.
It has not been made clear. But I don't know. I will say this. My favorite part of the group is that they each got to say some part of Wonder Egg Priority in that one episode that opens with them saying, "This is our Wonder Egg Priority." And I was like, fuck yeah, I fucking love this show.
People have dumped on like that title drop so much, and I don't really... I don't really get why.
So
like,
campy.
Sure, it's dumb.
It's so campy. Yeah.
People have dunked on it without realizing that there's a sign behind Momoe that misspells please, and it says Parise in English instead. No one's talking about that.
Why are you talking about the real issues?
I've got the proper dunks.
Oh, man. Oh, I don't know. Just, man, there was so much to like about Wonder Egg Priority. I was really falling in love with that show.
Yeah, me too.
I think it reminds me of Darling in the Franxx in a way, because Darling in the Franxx, I feel like, was never promising. And I was never, like, you know, I was very hyped up for it at first. I was like, oh shit, like, Trigger collaborating with like A1 Pictures. Okay, that's kind of cool, I guess. But it's like they're working with a lot of the ex-Gainax or the Gainax expats who eventually went to A1 Pictures and worked on Idolmaster. So it's like maybe it'll be like very Gainax-esque, which would be cool. And then they had a like, you know, things weren't looking great, but it was like, oh, they have like that one gay character who has like a thing for the main character, and maybe that'll do well. And like, spoilers for Darling in the Franxx, but Darling in the Franxx also has like some of the, maybe the worst gay erasure I've come across in anime.
Darling in the Franxx really hates the gays.
Darling in the Franxx gave, was like, hey, one gay character is like, actually, now that I learned that it is necessary to have kids, I don't like men anymore. And then made the other gay character like crippled with space AIDS at the end. So like, there's killing your gays, and then there's what Darling in the Franxx did.
Yeah.
And look, like, Wonder Egg Priority didn't go that far, I think. Not at least with its gay themes and its gay characters, especially with how wonderful episode 10 was. But I think it's disappointing seeing how good episode 10 was, and then, you know, what they ended up not doing with the platform they had and the characters they had.
Right. Yeah, and the fact that the little bit we get in the special that isn't recap is basically just like all of the characters being like, actually, I'm done interacting with the plot. Like, I'm going to go home. Like, that's literally just what they do.
Which isn't even a bad, like, plot point, especially because at the very end, they run into these horrifying, overpowered monsters that destroy their little Pokemon and fucking eat them.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I wouldn't want to participate in this either.
Especially if you find out, like, you're saving these people, but, like, in an alternate dimension that, like, you won't get to interact with. So it's like, all right, I saved my person. Like, what more do you want me to do? Especially, like, it's not like they're bringing them back here. Like, I don't fucking know, man. Yeah. And then the fact that, like, Neru wasn't Neru, but she was, like, an alternate version of Neru, who was a robot.
Neru
was always, like, an AI. The thing about the Neru I meets there not actually being her is the greatest, because...
Oh, no.
Like, early on in the show, when they're all talking about, like, who are you fighting for? Like, what's the reason you're doing this? Neru, the person who she's trying to bring back to life is her sister. And the reason she's doing that isn't because of, like, guilt over her sister's death like the rest. It's because her sister, like, went crazy, literally stabbed her in the back, and then, like, ran away and jumped off a bridge. And Neru's like, I want to bring her back to life so I can fucking kick her ass. And then that is never, ever mentioned again throughout the normal run of the show until the special, when I runs into Neru's sister, who just looks exactly like Neru and doesn't serve any purpose there except to say, like, I don't know who you are, and then leave. It's, yeah. It's absurd. And even when I still, like, had hopes for the show and, like, just, like, thought it was good, I was still like, all right, when are they gonna bring up Neru's sister, like, fucking murdering her again?
Nope. Did you guys see the one edit on YouTube that's, like, the Wonder Egg priority special, but only the good parts?
Yes, I did.
I have not seen this. It's like,
oh, it's like 20 seconds long. It's them doing karaoke, and then at the end, I going like, Otto I reporting back. And it ends.
The scene of them doing karaoke is excellent. You know, that's the, like, it's dumb great. Friend group shit that I loved about
but
the
show. But it came out of nowhere. Yeah. It was so totally dysfunctional. I was like, what the
it
fuck
doesn't
are
fit
we doing
the, it doesn't fit the tone of the special at all, but that's fine because the tone of the special is bad and it's good.
fuck the tone of the special.
And it's just I singing the ED for the song really, really badly.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even tell it was the ED for this, the anime at first because it was so terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Actually, I'm going to be honest. I did not know she was singing the ED of the song until you just told me it was so bad. I don't know why I was just not going to say that, but...
Out of shame.
Oh, man. What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you guys this question.
I'm listening.
Okay.
I guess a two-part question. First is Wonder Egg Priority the most disappointing original anime you've seen? And how do you feel like, if at all, it affects your anticipation for future original anime?
I have to compare this to whatever else, I guess.
Well, I can definitely answer the first part right off the bat. Yes. As I said earlier, I think Wonder Egg Priority is the most disappointed I have ever been with any show. Just, like, period.
Mm-hmm.
How it affects my anticipation for other original anime. That is an interesting question. Because people were saying all along with Wonder Egg Priority, it fits into the mold of, a lot of originals with kind of a wacky premise, where they've got a really cool thing going on, but it's maybe a little too weird for them to ever explain it in a satisfying way. So they're going to need to stick the landing eventually, and it's not really clear how that's going to be possible. And there are a lot of shows, like, I think Flip Flappers is probably the most famous example, that are the same way and have historically, like, basically always failed to stick the landing. So it would not be too unreasonable to just have assumed, and I think a lot of people did, that flip-flappers or that One Direction priority was not going to stick the landing. So on that level, like, it's not really a departure from originals that came before it. So it probably shouldn't affect my, you know, interpretation of what to expect from original anime series. On the other hand, though, the scale of this one is so different from a lot of those, both in terms of the highs and the lows, that it's hard to really look at them on the same axis. I just think that, like, WEP is maybe not different from anything that came before it in that respect, but it definitely has raised that particular brand of fucking up to, like, an all-time high. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. I ask because for me, I feel like I used to have, like, higher expectations for original anime. Especially because I think one of the you know, the first original anime that I watched as it was, like, at least part of it was Eric was Code Geass. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I think most people, the popular consensus is that it really stuck the landing. And me in, like, 8th, 9th grade, obviously really believe that. Like, it was perfect for me, and I still really like that ending. Like, the way Code Geass's ending made me felt, and brought everything together was, like, really phenomenal to me. And then, of course, there was Eld Noah Zero, which, did not have a great ending. Despite how amped up I was, because, you know, it was by the director of Fate Zero, I want to say, and also had Urobuchi working on the initial premise of it and Kappa series composition. But even after Eld Noah Zero really shat the bed with its ending, I still had hope when it came to Darling in the Franxx. And I think it wasn't until Darling in the Franxx came out that I was like, oh, because, like, Shirobako I also watched airing, and I was like, okay, like, this is a great original anime as it's airing. But I think it really was Darling in the Franxx that broke my back. That was like, okay, I can't, in good faith, recommend original anime anymore as they're airing.
I don't really know if that's fair. I think it's like, there definitely is this brand of original anime, like stuff like Flip Flappers, that has the vibe that at this point I think we can all see coming from a mile away, and has earned that sort of reputation by now. But, you know, stuff like Shirobako, fantastic show, doesn't really have anything in common with Flip Flappers or Wonder Egg Priority or anything else.
That's true.
I think it's a little unfair to lump all originals in like that. Just
okay. Just a lot of PA Works original anime. So I should have loved, like, Sakura Quest with that.
Yeah,
and Irozuku Colors with that. Yeah.
Yes.
So, makes sense, makes
sense. Aquatope of the White Sand, obviously.
I haven't seen
anything about Aquatope. I just know people like it on Twitter.
I haven't seen it, but I have been reliably told by people who know I hate PA Works original anime that I would like it.
Interesting.
Really?
So, yes. I don't know if I should believe them, though. Maybe they aren't reliable, actually.
Come to think of it.
Never trust anyone who tells you a PA Works anime is good.
Aside from Shirobako.
Look, all I'm saying is I hated Uma Musume Season 1, and that was done by PA Works. But I fucking love Uma Musume Season 2, and that was not done by PA Works.
Can't be
that
a
was
coincidence.
The missing blink. That was the only thing wrong with the show.
It wasn't the horse girls who race each other and are also idols premise of the show. It was the fact that PA Works was on it. Man.
It's just,
I do hope that, like, the people who worked on this anime, who were not the gender on that gender essentialist bullshit and homophobic bullshit and all that shit, I hope the people who worked on it and weren't those people end up getting to do some really awesome things in the anime industry.
Me too.
Because like we said, like, this had so much promise, and like, it looked phenomenal. Like, Sakugaburo would be like filled with Wonder Egg Priority clips every week.
Yeah. The original writer, the bad guy of our story, his name is
We were given warnings about this guy, but we were huffing the copium and hoping.
Were we given warnings about this guy? I didn't know any warnings about him.
We were, yeah. On Twitter, it was all about like how like this guy had done like other previous LGBTQ dramas, and they were all really fucked up and ended really terribly.
His name is Nojima Shinji. This is the only anime he's ever worked on.
Bro, don't trust people named Shinji.
Yes, this really is just like Ava. I was totally right.
He writes
anime watcher who's only seen Ava. A lot of Ava vibes from this.
He's written like TV dramas for like 35 years. The director though, his name is Wakabayashi Shin.
Shin Wakabayashi. He worked on 22x7. It was like an idol anime short that was covering an original idol group that was like represented by anime character designs drawn by what is her name? She worked on K-On! And Tamako Market.
Oh, the person, God, you, the person you love?
Yamada Naoko.
Hiro. Oh my God, I'm gonna get canceled by QAnon.
Akio Watanabe.
Yes!
Akio Watanabe, I just gave it to you.
No, it's. Oh, Yukiko Horiguchi. Horiguchi. Yeah, I just remember people called her Hori Hori, and I was like, that's not gonna be helpful to anyone who doesn't know who she is. Yeah, Yukiko Horiguchi, who's, I believe, the sibling of Abek / Bun Bun, who did the character designs for Sword Art Online and Mysterious Heroine X and Mysterious Heroine X Alter and Mysterious Heroine XX and Mysterious Idol
and
Alter X Alter.
Yeah. God, so stupid.
For all 2F Go players anyway. In chat who are listening.
Anyway, but yeah, my point was this was Wakabayashi Shin's like first, his directorial debut.
Right, for a full TV anime. Yes.
And on in that respect, as a director, he fucking killed it. Dude knocked it out of the park.
Oh, for sure.
So I hope that we get to see him direct more things in the future with better writing.
Yes.
Because
it really felt like his directorial style was really influenced by like a lot of Yamada Naoko's works, but like with his own twist on it, and it really worked well for the show.
Yeah, I have literally no complaints about the directing of the show. I think that was perfect.
Uh-huh.
Give this guy some like good material to work with, he could easily become one of my favorite directors.
I can see that. I just remember watching this with my old roommate, and we were watching it weekly, and then, you know, because of COVID, we couldn't always meet every week, and I was like, look, I'm just going to watch the last couple episodes without you, because this has been really great, and I want to get ahead on it. And then he was like, hey, so are we ever going to finish Wonder Egg Priority? Like, that last episode about the trans character, man, that was so good. I can't wait to watch more.
Are we ever going
to
finish that? Like, and you're like, no. No, we're not.
No, we are. Absolutely. You watched the peak of it.
You did finish it. That's the last episode.
That's like a friend of mine watched... What's the name of that fucking show? Violet Evergarden? Like, after
Little
it ended...
Little series, Violet Evergarden.
Yeah. She watched Violet Evergarden after it ended and messaged me at one point to be like, I just finished Violet Evergarden. That last episode, it was so good. It was so moving. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, that last episode didn't make any sense. It was so ass. And she was like, what? No, it was amazing. And we went back and forth like this for a little while before we realized that the subgroup that she was downloading them from had not finished releasing all of the episodes yet. So the last one that she watched was the one where Violet, like, babysits that little girl whose mother wrote all the letters to her.
Oh my god, that's such a...
And I was like, oh, okay, yes. No, that episode is amazing. Stop there.
I think the next episode about the veteran and the girl back home is a pretty good episode,
okay,
too.
Okay, yeah, that one's fine, yeah, too. The last episode of Violet is trash.
Yeah, definitely the mom episode is definitely the peak of the series. Yes. But yeah. What? Yeah, it's those episode 10s, man. Episode 10s. Oh, man. One Direct Priority. It definitely gave us a memorable experience. I don't think I'm going to be forgetting... Actually, I say that, and there are many days where I just completely forget One Direct Priority ever existed.
It's true. Same exact thing.
It could have been a very memorable one, but it ended up being so bad, I purposely made it forgettable.
In the end, I am giving, since they're conveniently different entries on Mal, I am giving the original series a 7. Because I did not rate the original series until I watched the special.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
In the end, I am giving the original series a 7, and I'm giving the special a 2.
I think I gave those exact same scores.
I gave the OG series an 8, and I gave the special a 3.
Wait, did I give the One Direct Priority special a 1?
That seems like something you'd give one.
It's on your mouth.
I did give it a 1. I gave the original series a 6, and I gave the special a 1. So we're pretty consistent. We
have the exact like... same margin between special and series.
Wow, that's pretty funny.
So, I don't know. You guys have anything else to say on it?
Yo, can we talk a little bit about that, like, bonkers episode that completely jumps the shark? Because I feel like in not this show, that episode...
The flashback one?
the flashback one. Sure. I feel like in not this show, that could have been a cool episode. It just felt so out of nowhere for this.
It would have been cool if they just gave closure to Frill and all that. It's like,
yeah,
it's almost like it sets up a second half of the series where it's like, okay, yeah, now we've got like an established villain. She's created these weird, fucked up things that will just kill your Pokemon. And it's like, yeah, okay, so now the objective is we got to like stop Frill in this dream world or whatever. And it just never happens.
Right. So I would say, with regard to that episode, that I think... How do I want to phrase this? Man. I would say that that episode, in a vacuum, was very cool.
Yes.
Yes.
Where it gets dicey is just once you start to think about it in the context of what this show is about, because, you know, I
clearly everyone was in it for the sci-fi elements to it,
right? I thought that it would have been like a good satisfying ending for everything, or not like thematic wrap up to it, to be like, yeah, like, the reason Frill is so fucking insane is because she was created to be, like, the ideal woman by, like, two shitty dudes who have extremely fucked up views of what women are like.
Yes.
And the actual reason she was so fucked up is just because the writer thinks that that's what women are like.
All women are like that, you know? Don't you know what every woman would just... creep up on an expecting mother with a hair dryer behind them and just drop it in a bathtub to them? Clearly. God.
But the like another one of those just like really cool, perfectly inspired design choices I was talking about is the creepy bughead girls. Like, yeah. They're terrifying.
They're amazing.
They're so scary.
They're so fucked up. Those are like serious nightmare material.
It's like, it's genius. It's so genius. If only we had been able to see like a resolution to that plot, I would have loved that. Frill is literally never even mentioned in the special.
Nope.
Like, she's in the flashback, or like the recap, but like, she has nothing to do with anything. We don't know what the hell the deal is with the bughead girls. We don't even know how she was causing girls to commit suicide.
Yeah, like, she just gets locked up in, like, this coffin with a bunch of monitors, and then
so she can watch all of HoloLive!
Exactly. And then the guy comes down, like, a decade later and just got, like, wires connected to everything, and it's like, how the fuck did she do that?
Right. It's simply absurd.
Yeah.
In the spirit of Wonder Egg Priorities finale, let's talk about HoloLive, something completely different. Cinderus, when are you going to start watching VTubers?
Never.
Why is that?
Because...
Why do you hate people trying to make a living on the internet?
Because trying to make a living on the internet is bad. the whole, like, VTuber concept, it's just like... it's just like parasocial relationships... in a corporate package, isn't it? Like, taken to the absolute extreme, where it's, like, literally a fake version of a person that you're watching.
So, one of my friends, I was talking to him about it.
Oh, wow, this is an actual debate that they're gonna have, wow.
And he was saying, like, so he had, like, no idea what was going on, and I was, like, telling him a little bit about it. He was like, oh, so it's, like, drag? And I don't know enough about drag.
That is a really funny comparison.
But it was like, you know, it's like, it's them, but we all agree collectively that we know that is not a real person. But we buy into the fake persona of it for fun. And then it's like, and for the person who's performing, it's them, but not them, but like a lot of them is in it. And they have this their persona that they're like, projecting and like entertaining you and like, you know, doing all this stuff. And I was like, huh. So like, are VTubers the natural progression of drag?
I'm gonna cut you off there. That's gone a little far.
Because there's independent VTubers, and I know there are a few non-binary and trans VTubers who like it because they're, you know, maybe
sure.
they don't
yeah,
aren't
like,
able to
you can
have like have the body that you want to display.
Sure. Like, there are ways in which it can be good, definitely. But,
right,
you know, like, the whole HoloLive thing is just, like...
it's corporate. Oh, man. But they're trying so hard, Cinerys. I watched Subaru's third anniversary live, and she like had been trying and practicing and dancing for so many years, and she has this great sob story. Anyway, back to Odd Eye. So I think now we're gonna try and wrap up this Wonder Egg Priority episode. Now that we've fully gone into the spirit of the special, yeah, I don't know. I don't even know if I have any thoughts that I haven't hit on Wonder Egg Priority.
I'm sure I will come up with more after we're done recording, just because we've been so Same. Scattered, and I have a lot of feelings about the show, but I've done my best.
Same here. So I'm just going to say, read my Twitter thread. I will link it in the description. It's the best stuff I've ever posted on this stupid-ass website. And it sums up all of my thoughts on One Direct Priority very succinctly, I believe. It is the definitive experience. I feel like even if you haven't seen One Direct Priority, you can just read this thread and this will kind of be the general experience of watching it.
All right.
I really like the fact that you could tell that the writer of One Direct Priority had seen Mamma Mia, because that's Rika's backstory. It's just the plot to Mamma Mia.
You're not totally wrong.
It's literally Mamma Mia. Here I go again. My.
I have no experience on this, so I'll just take your word for it.
So in Mamma Mia, the daughter of Meryl Streep, in the movie anyway, I'm just going to call her Meryl Streep because I don't remember her name. So Meryl Streep's daughter doesn't know who her dad is, and like leading up to her wedding, she invites the three men that her mom like slept with in like a 2-week span that could all potentially be her father. And the plot of Mamma Mia is her trying to figure out who her dad is.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, Rika has, like, what is it, like, 3 to 5 potential dads?
Yeah, she has 5 photos, and it's one of them is her dad.
Yeah, and she has no idea which one of them it is.
That is funny.
That's all I could think about. Man. Like, every time I saw Rika, like, after that moment, all I could think of as every time I saw her was, Mamma Mia,
here I go again.
My. How could I forget
The final gift the show has given us.
That's all I could think about. And originally I was like, wow, this is really disrespectful to like a really well-intentioned and well-written character. And now I don't care. I'm like, this is the most redeeming aspect of the show. At least they gave me this.
Yeah. Love Rika.
Yeah.
Love Momo.
Love Rika. Like, Rika was a great character too. Like, the way they address self-harm and like idol culture, eating disorders, like even if they didn't like,
I didn't
you
even
know,
think about the eating disorders
fully.
Actually, that wow, yep. I never picked up on that.
But the girl who killed herself,
like, it's not as extreme as like a Kyoko Sakura and Madoka,
right? So. Who like was overeating because she was so hungry all the time, but. Or, like, constantly eating.
What I like about Rika is that she's this very cynical side of, like, depression and self-harm and suicide and things like that, to the point where she's just like, you know what? Maybe, like, we shouldn't have to fucking deal with this so much. Like even if it is our fault somewhat, like, why should we have to, like, suffer so
much? Yeah, that was another great scene when Rika's like, guys, we're basically all doing this just because, like, we feel guilty over what happened. And, like, we couldn't move on because, you know, we were depressed about this. But, like, now we're all pals. We're hanging out all the time. We're having fun. Like, can't we just stop?
Why are we doing this?
That was such a good scene.
Mm-hmm,
you know, that's more of the good stuff. Just, like, genius construction for how to put together... Yeah. This kind of narrative.
Because they could walk away at any point. They really could have.
Yeah.
And she was the only one who wanted to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
I don't know, friends. And, like, the guilt that Momoe had about her friend.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I thought that was, like, how... Like, that must really fuck you up to have, like, your best friend be someone who falls in love with you, and because they fall in love with you, they kill themselves? Like, holy shit, that would fuck you up.
I can tell you firsthand that it does.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Not exactly the same sort of setup, but like...
Sure.
I have seen similar things. So...
It's so fucked. Yeah. And it's like, these are all topics that like... I haven't really, if ever, seen other anime handle.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially handle well.
You know, exactly. Like, man, I don't know. It was just, there was just so much good rap in this until the end. And it makes me really wonder, like, how important is an ending to an anime? I feel like sometimes it is the most important because, like, what is it all for if not the ending? Like, if you build up to things and you have no payoff, then what is the resolution? What do you have? But I think there are moments and there are episodes and there are scenes and characters and writing that can stay with a lot of people. And I think that's really powerful and really awesome.
I mean, I think we all showed the way we think about that in the fact that we rated the ending 5 points lower than we rated the show. You know, like,
I was really thinking this could be like a 9 or a 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Like if it stuck the landing, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would obviously never say this out loud.
Thankfully, Odd Taxi came out the next season to give us the 9 and 10 we were looking for.
Ooh.
What a
great show Odd Taxi was.
I've gotten a few 9s this year. Because I also gave Megalobox a 9.
Yeah.
I've heard, so I need to watch Megalobox, but I loved Dinazenon.
Did you like Dinazenon?
Absolutely phenomenal. I loved Dinazenon.
I liked it. I didn't like it as much as Gridman, but it was still really good.
Surprisingly, I think I liked Dinazenon more than Gridman.
Really?
Which was not something I expected because I loved Gridman. I absolutely adored Gridman.
We really need to do a podcast on those series.
We do. I like Dinazenon was great. And then Uma Musume's pretty derby season 2.
No.
I gave a 9. I can't believe I gave it a 9.
Decline.
The
that
9.
That doesn't count.
The 9. The 9. Yeah. It was a great sports anime.
Okay, guys. Well. Yeah.
Alright, I think
reporting in! We're cutting it off!
I think that's the last time we're gonna go off topic because we're done.
We're done. It's over.
We're done. Okay. Bye.
Go home.